Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Meg. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
You've picked a research paper this week that addresses a really important issue, one that we all deal with a lot, but it's sort of nice to go back and revisit it. And the topic is this deep vein thrombosis and acute pulmonary embolus, two manifestations of the same sort of clinical disorder, which we call venous thromboembolism, sometimes called VTE. Lots of questions that clinicians have when treating DVT, such as, you know, what's the differential diagnosis and what are the risk factors? What's the best way to diagnose DVT? What's the initial treatment? How long do we treat and what agents to use and how do we need to monitor? And when do we need to be aggressive about screening for hypercoagulable states? It is something that has changed over the past decade. Still lots of unanswered questions. The condition itself, VTE, is a major health problem in the U.S. It's estimated that one out of every 100 hospital admissions in the U.S. are for VTE. And depending on which source, I got a couple of different readings, but somewhere between 60,000 and 300,000 deaths in the United States are due to VTE. So it's a big problem. When we treat for DVT, our goal is to either prevent or treat some of the complications that include clots, PE, recurrent thrombosis, et cetera, et cetera. Anticoagulant therapy, as we know, is indicated for patients with proximal DVT. You found this week, I think, a really good meta-analysis. It was published in JAMA in 2014, volume 312. It starts on page 1122, and it helps us answer the question, what is the optimal treatment strategy for acute venous thromboembolism? Mark, what did they do, and were there enough studies to be able to draw good conclusions?
Yeah, this was a really complex study. It's called a network meta-analysis, and that's usually with a meta-analysis, you're asking one question. Is, you know, drug A better than drug B or drug A better than surgery? In this case, they were trying to compare a lot of different therapies. And so they really create kind of a mesh network where you're comparing A to B, B to C, C to D, and then using basically the transitive property to then indirectly make comparisons as well. Most of the results here that we're going to discuss are based on the direct comparisons of the drugs. And so they found, they did this network meta-analysis. Overall, really well done. They did a really careful search. They did all their methods for a systematic review really well. The main outcomes were recurrent VTE, and they included studies of both DVT and PE, by the way. So this was all VTE. So the main outcomes were, did the patient have a recurrent VTE event, or did they have a major bleeding episode? And those are the things we really care about, you know, when we're treating patients and trying to choose the best therapy. So they found 45 studies with about 45,000 patients. Most common study was what I would call comparing the old standard of care, which is unfractionated heparin. Remember that, Mike? Unfractionated heparin, calculating those doses.
Absolutely. Hours we spent collectively. I had to have weeks added onto my life if I could get that back.
6 hours running after the, right. Oh, God. Yeah, I remember those days. So anyway, these were older studies comparing unfractionated heparin followed by warfarin once you're therapeutic, comparing that with low molecular weight heparin. Remember when those were new drugs? Yes, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and we were in residency. And followed by warfarin. So 22 studies, about half of them just compared basically unfractionated heparin with low molecular weight heparin followed by warfarin. More interestingly, there were 12 that compared the older therapy, older standard of care with low molecular weight heparin alone. Three compared low molecular weight heparin followed by warfarin compared with low molecular weight heparin alone. Probably most interestingly are the ones that look at these newer anticoagulants and direct thrombin inhibitors and some of the oral agents. And so they had a few studies that compared fondaparinux followed by warfarin with heparin followed by warfarin. And there were six that compared low molecular weight heparin followed by warfarin. So that would be kind of the usual new standard therapy, I would say, compared with either dabigatran, apixaban, edoxaban, or rivaroxaban, so the newer direct thrombin inhibitors, oral agents. Most of the studies follow patients for about 3 months, and compared with the standard therapy of low molecular weight heparin with, followed by warfarin, all of the treatment strategies were pretty similar in terms of preventing recurrent VTE. The only exception was that unfractionated heparin followed by warfarin was worse. The number needed to harm there was about 188. So low molecular weight heparin, similar to all the others, except for unfractionated heparin followed by warfarin, which is worse, compared with, again, this new standard therapy of low molecular weight heparin followed by warfarin, the risk of a major bleeding episode was also similar with most of the other therapies. The only exception was it was slightly lower with rivaroxaban and apixaban. Number needed to treat around 200 for both of those. They looked at, they did essentially, with this network meta-analysis, you can do kind of a probabilistic computation of which therapy is most, based on all of the data from all the studies, which therapies most likely to be have the greatest net benefit, least net harm, and they found that apixaban was that drug, although it was really only evaluated in a single manufacturer-sponsored trial. So I would say that's probably not strong enough evidence to say apixaban is our go-to drug. So bottom line, complicated analysis, 8 different regimens for acute VTE. Unfractionated heparin and warfarin probably belongs in the dustbin of medical history at this point. Oral rivaroxaban and apixaban are promising as having potentially slightly lower bleeding risk. Again, only been compared head-to-head with low molecular weight heparins and warfarin in 3 manufacturer-sponsored trials. Take that with maybe a bit of a grain of salt.
Great. So, complicated issue. What would you identify as the most important unanswered questions, Mark?
That's a good question. These were efficacy. You always ask these hard questions without preparing me.
Yes, sir.
The efficacy analysis, these were efficacy trials. So they were done in the conditions of a randomized controlled trial, carefully monitored, probably somewhat screened population of patients, people who could follow instructions well, that kind of thing. And so when you're comparing low molecular weight heparin followed by 3 to 6 months of warfarin, you know, there is the concern that maybe their control was better than we might see in a typical community setting where patients get lost to follow-up or kind of fall off the wagon or, maybe don't have as high a percentage of time in the therapeutic window as in these clinical trials. I think typically in these trials, the percentage of time in the therapeutic window for warfarin is usually around 70% or so. So if you're not doing that, you may actually have even worse results with that combination. Certainly there are issues around ease of use and cost, both favoring and hurting the rivaroxaban. So I think the sort of pragmatic data would be nice to have and the more effectiveness data. You know, how does this play out in the real world? Rather than in an efficacy trial.
Well, for an unprepared person, that's a great answer. I think that's a really important observation. Anyways, thanks, Mark, for giving us a review of VTE.
Yeah, I'm a doctor. I'm a family doc. I do well when unprepared.
Excellent. Thanks. We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.